Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Eric Wetterling, founder and editor of The Hedgeless Horseman. Now Eric, you and I have been chatting off mic, having a little bit of a debate, I guess, in terms of where the gold price and the gold stock stand, and also balancing out what you're hearing from a lot of the newsletter writers in the precious metal space that are focused on precious metals. Look, this month has been very good for gold, for GDX, for GDXJ, and for a lot of the stocks. However, there is still that argument that the gold price, even GDXJ, has not really broken out of its downtrend line. Now, GDX, the majors, the seniors, they are leading this market, and they started bouncing before. So I find that encouraging, but I still don't think it's all clear for the sector. Eric, what are you seeing in the charts?
No, I mean, as you said, I mean, GDX has broken out already. I mean, that's bigger money. I mean, retail people don't really buy into that. So that's, you know, some kind of clue to what's happening, I guess. And then you have GDXJ, which basically broke, depending on how you draw the resistance line, it looks like it broke out in the last few days. And last time it did that, that was a false breakout, and then it got slammed basically a few days later. So, I mean, who knows? Since it's been such a long correction, obviously everything, every rally will be doubted, because we've had, I don't know how many daily cycles to the upside that got slammed. I mean, that resistance line has held one, two, three, four times at least, and now we're on the fifth try. So, you know, the saying of, you know, fool me once, etc. So I can understand that people don't want to be fooled again, which means that I do think that a lot of people are selling these pops. But I mean, seriously, since I'm a value trader or investor, I mean, the only thing I look at is risk reward. And the shorts are suggesting that, you know, with GDX leading the breakout, I mean, you can't say other than at the moment that looks very bullish. And the other ones are lagging, and, you know, that might be a natural thing to actually happen. And the juniors are lagging the most, I would say, on average at least. But that tells me that retail investors really don't are not that keen on getting in, or at least in a big way. I think a lot of people are selling right now. But at the same time, like we talked off mic, private placements are still flying off the shelves, and they are being upsized, etc. And I don't know what portion would be retail money, but there's obviously, you know, there's sentiment out there. But why wouldn't it? I mean, the actual producers have record high operating margins. So, I mean, the institutionals would be pretty stupid not to deploy that kind of capital. Meanwhile, the retail traders or retail investors, a lot of them are looking for 10 baggers, etc. So I think they're much more emotional and don't really care about what Barrick's operating margin is, etc. But that's also why I think the juniors are, again, it's like they've been chronically cheap for a while now, and especially given the elevated gold prices. So, I mean, I'm all in as always. I'll be all in until I could see them as overvalued, and they're certainly not overvalued yet.
Well, now, Eric, that's a very good point. Yes, you're not going to get an argument from me that the juniors are overvalued, or even the majors are overvalued. And it is encouraging to see the majors leading this charge with bigger money. One quick comment regarding retail investors. Usually they are some of the last to the party, right? Retail does actually provide that last little euphoric push, and I don't think we're even close to being there. But back to your point regarding GDXJ and gold, yeah, it depends where you draw your trend lines from, whether it has broken out of that downtrend. But I think overall, if you're having that debate, then it just goes to show that it hasn't broken out significantly. And today we're getting a little bit of a pullback, but we are right up against that trend line. I think it is encouraging. We just need a little bit more action. When it comes to the overall sentiment that you're seeing, though, break that down for us, because you outlined something off mic about all the newsletter writers and what kind of sentiment levels they're pointing to.
I mean, first of all, there's some, I don't know who it is, who basically compiles a gold newsletter sentiment index or something like that. And a few weeks ago, at least, I think it was at, you know, 4-year lows or something like that. And I've seen actually, I don't know if it's actually them who's tweeting, but I've seen some newsletter official accounts basically who highlighting the gold price, that it looks like it's basically looks like the aftermath of the peak in 2011, which would imply then, you know, a big fall, since we know what happened after the peak in 2011. So again, I don't subscribe to any newsletter, so I don't really know. I mean, it's not a qualitative study, I guess. So I haven't really looked into what they're actually saying, but my sense is still that, you know, there's a lot of doubt out there, because as you said, I mean, retail people are last in, and I don't see a lot of buying, but at least the last few days we've actually seen some good pushing, I think. And honestly, it's like you said, I mean, we haven't clearly broken out, so I mean, there's no real FOMO going on yet, because it's not going up exponential. It's just, you know, barely peaking its head above some of the trend lines in, you know, gold and GDXJ, for example. So one could understand perhaps why the most emotional people aren't really convinced yet, because they don't see, you know, they'll get in with it when they have missed out, and they haven't missed out of that much so far.
Well, and that's the thing, right? They really haven't. And a lot of the technicians that I'm hearing from are predicting that this rebound or new trend, let's call it, to the upward direction is going to be slow, much slower than what we saw last year when the price was just skyrocketing. How do you think that filters down into the juniors when, if at least we have a rise in gold price, that can help the juniors, but it might not just be a vertical move higher. It might be a grinding move higher.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, relatively speaking, it's probably, you know, not that great. The producers and seniors, et cetera, they might actually outperform, because, I mean, still, when you can watch the crypto space 24/7 and you see, you know, up 20%, down 20%, if we have a gradual increase in gold, et cetera, that's not going to entice a lot of people, I think, and especially since this is really a momentum game. So, I mean, if we have one or two days where juniors really, you know, take off, yeah, then people are going to pile in. But if there's no, I mean, if nothing lights them on fire, really, and we have this gradual move in gold, and we have a pretty rational and slow, upleg, I don't think the FOMO is really going to kick in. And at the same time, it's like, I don't really care that much, because I think I know where we're going to go eventually. And in the meantime, I'm basically investing more money every month. So if I know that the payday will come, and people, of course, want the payday to come tomorrow, but I mean, as I see it, the more money I can, you know, invest before the actual payday, that's just going to mean that I've been sowing more fields and my harvest will be even bigger. So I'm pretty agnostic, actually, even though, sure, you get dragged into the FOMO, and it obviously feels good to look at a portfolio and, you know, see stuff up 10-20%. But from a rational point of view, you're not doing yourself any favors if you could have invested 5% more, for example, and had the same return you would have from the initial investment.
So then how, well, I guess you already said how you're managing your portfolio. You are invested. Where have you found that you've been focusing? Where are you seeing the most value out there?
Well, I mean, I would say that the sentiment has gotten poor enough that I do think that a lot of advanced explorers and developers are actually cheap. It's just it always feels like, I mean, you can look at a junior that's trading for $10, $15 million and it's pre-discovery, and then you compare it to a, you know, 2 million ounce deposit, whatever, that's trading at 100 million. And you're always going to think, oh, well, this could move a lot higher, et cetera. But I mean, if you would account for the time, risk and capital required for the 15 million market cap junior to reach where the 100 million market cap junior is, then either the 50 million market cap junior is overvalued, or the developer or advanced explorer is undervalued. So, I mean, from a risk-reward perspective, I do think that now is the time probably to actually buy the bank success on the cheap. And at the same time, what I really like are the, you know, growth stories. And I mean, I'm mostly heavy into the ones who already have a discovery and are, you know, it looks like they could have more room to run. Because, I mean, what are the odds of an actual, you know, a grassroots discovery? That's very low. But if you have a few holes and have made a discovery, I mean, probably, I mean, there's a decent chance that they will actually keep on trucking. And we've seen that in Newfound Gold, for example. I mean, it's been doubted the whole way, basically. But even though gold has gone down and it had some, you know, a pretty, well, a multi-month consolidation, now it's broken out. So, I mean, it has crushed the price of gold. And it's been doubted all the time, and people have called it overvalued. But, I mean, they just kept hitting and hitting and hitting because there was nothing that said that the system stop because they kept on hitting. So it's like, if you stick with stuff like that until, you know, the news turns bad, for example, you have no idea how long the runway is. And especially if it's a, you know, tier one or tier two discovery, etc. I mean, you're not going to care if, or the stock isn't going to care that much if gold goes up 50 or down $50. So I'm, again, it's like I'm mostly focused on alpha. But I do think that bank success is very cheap, but I would also like to see bank success with some growth, or at least the companies they're risking. Otherwise, you're just sitting in a trading sardine.
Okay. Well, in all fairness, yeah, it doesn't even really matter where the gold price is going. If you're making a tier one, and those are rare, tier one discovery, even a tier two discovery, that can drive the stock higher. So it sounds like you really are looking at these not early on drill plays, but still relatively early on in terms of a discovery. So as you said, a couple holes that the company is working to delineate. Does that mean that you're not opposed to buying some of these stocks that have just completely outperformed the market, like Newfound, where most of the stocks have been correcting and they've been putting in gains? You're not afraid that those ones relative to the other stocks are getting a bit overvalued?
Well, I'm not, let's put it, I'm not piling into Newfound Gold now, for example. I mean, I think that's going to continue higher, but as always, I mean, I compare every stock in my portfolio to every other one. I mean, that's gone higher, but it's gone higher for a good reason. And there are stocks that have gone higher for no reason all really. But if they started at a, you know, very low valuation, that might be rational, etc. But if you have some stocks that are also as undervalued as the previous one was at one point, and that hasn't gone up, I mean, you can simply reshuffle. But I guess, I mean, to answer your question, I'm pretty deep in Eloro, for example, because I think that's gonna grow. I think SK is gonna grow as well, but there's, you know, time until then. But other than that, it's like there's so many stories, especially I would say the Northern Hemisphere explorers. I think a lot of them are gonna wake up in, well, sooner rather than later. And still, I think it's a few months too far away from the exciting period that people still don't see the need to buy them. But I think that, you know, from a low risk perspective, I do think that the best place right now is probably, yeah, from a risk reward, especially if you actually intend to ride the drill hype. I think you should be looking at a lot of explorers who will be drilling when, you know, spring comes in the north, because right now I think they are still too boring. But I mean, they won't be boring for more than maybe three months, and they are probably, unless the gold price craters, they're gonna go up because people are gonna go excited. That's just a fact. I mean, everyone wants that 10 bagger, and everyone feels that they need to be in for the discovery hole, which is not correct, but hey, that's how it works.
So it sounds like you are really focused on some of these seasonal drill plays. And you know what? This is a good time to look at these seasonal drill plays, because they are still at least a couple months, if not still four months away, let's say, from getting drill programs going on their projects. And well, a lot of these companies are cashed up. So I do understand that strategy of looking at some of these projects. You really need to filter through them, though, because there are a lot of projects and there's going to be a lot more drilling in the Northern Hemisphere, especially in the Golden Triangle. So you really do need to be selective and make sure that if you do, I think, get a gain even before drills hit the ground, well, then at least you can maybe clear out of some of your position and take that gain. Eric, we've talked about that strategy before, but when it comes to any plays in the Northern Hemisphere outside of maybe SK Mining, what are you looking at?
Yeah, well, I'm looking at like Prosper Gold, for example. They are still a few weeks, I think, from drill start. There you have one of the best targets out there. So I and it's a tight share structure, so I'm pretty sure that's gonna plow higher. Then we have Signature Resources. I think that is very off the radar, and they already have a lot of, you know, they have a historic drill success, and the system is wide open. So that's actually one I'm hoping to stay down for a bit because I haven't really gotten into it. And okay, Kestrel Gold, for example, is a new one. I actually entered a private placement that was done recently, and they have like three drill targets. So I think that's gonna for sure catch on speculative bids. And otherwise, I mean, District Metals, I did a piece on them recently. They're drilling in Sweden right now, but then there you will be taking assay risks relatively soon. I just think it's cheap, and they have a very high probability of success. So I'm actually holding into the assay results, but yeah, those would be. And Kingfisher Metals, I think that's, they have a pretty good looking project in BC, and I think that's going to get some real speculative frenzy going into that real campaign.
All right, Eric, appreciate the update as always. Good chatting with you. And yeah, as I always do, offer a little bit of caution when you are reading some of these gold newsletters, because they do have the bias to be bullish. Eric, we'll chat again next week. Thanks for your time, buddy.
Thank you.